Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You got yourself three branches of government, but you've also got three branches of influence. This is Wretched Radio Civics Time. Quiz question. What are the three branches of government?
The House, the Senate, and...
No, you've already failed. It's judicial.
I was never good with civics.
Yes. Wow, Jimmy. Yes, sir. Judicial is correct.
That's right. That's all I got.
Judicial. You've got the...
Parliament.
Oh, like a Viltefish Larry. This is why, right here, this is it. When somebody says, why don't you talk more about politics? Besides the fact that this is a Christian talk show and not a political talk show, I think you just heard a clear reason. The president would be the executive branch. You've got the legislative, which is your House and Senate, and then the judicial branch.
That's
it's
what I was
the
say.
Three legs. It is designed to be a checks and balance system. And you and I have a tendency to think, well, that's where the big decisions are made. I would suggest to you, yeah, big decisions are made there. But I would argue that the bigger morality influences are found in three different branches. And I'm not sure the founding fathers ever imagined that this would be the case. Hence, their lack of addressing them in any of our founding documents. What are the three branches of influence? This one's obvious. Hollywood, clearly. They pump out bilge all the time. It's loaded with worldview. There's a statement that is used by people in that industry. Everybody wants to tell a story. And those stories are always loaded with worldview. There isn't one that isn't. Isn't Disney getting shellacked for that very reason?
They'll say every movie, every TV show, all the music, it all has a worldview behind it.
Okay. I don't know how accurate this is, so I'll leave it a little bit vague. But apparently, Hollywood produces a certain type of action hero because a particular government prefers those types of lead heroes and not others. Okay, that's worldview. So you get presented with something that's designed to tell you something. And those are embedded in... there's nothing that goes into our noggins out of Hollywood or out of Nashville, if you like the country music scene, that doesn't say something. Just even a slight sexual reference. What is it telling you? A little innuendo, if it's about drinking beer...
Sitting on tailgates.
Looking for Friday night. Just working for Friday night. How is my southern accent, fellas?
Not very good.
Okie dokie then.
Say Chattahoochee.
That's in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Yeah, when's Chattahoochee going to get their highway act together and start building more roads into that town? That town is coming alive. I'm telling you, Chattahoochee is a little gem sitting on the river. But if they don't fix that highway situation, I am sending a very strongly worded letter to the people of Chattahoochee.
That's pretty good.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Hollywood, that is one realm of influence. Here's another one that I think might surprise you just a little bit.
All right.
Business.
Yeah.
Business is becoming an influence center. Business is starting to project their worldview and mandate it on employees. What do you see going on inside of the businesses? All kinds of training.
Critical race training.
Critical race training is going on. You've got to know how to talk. You've got to deal with pronouns, the gender issues. Yep. And what do you see? All kinds of virtue signaling on television. They tell you how to act. They tell you how to think. If they mandate something, whatever it is, whether it's mask, whether it's distancing, whether it's vaccine, they're a player. They really are. The whole vaccine thing is fascinating in that they can be the instrument that is used to enforce the option of taking a vaccine provided at Operation Warp Speed by the government. because if you don't go to get your vaccination, you can't work here. Whoa, that's flexing some muscle, and we're seeing it increasingly. The third realm, perhaps more obvious, would be academics. We are seeing academics used as the influence center now. It's been going on for decades, make no mistake about it. They are teaching a new kind of history. They are teaching new values, and they are bent on breaking down Christian kids so that they become opened up to a different worldview, which is not based in the Bible. One of the most shocking things, I think it was a casual conversation I was having with David Wheaton. If you've never listened to his Christian Worldview program, it airs on Saturday mornings. It's outstanding. He does such a great job. He's thoughtful and he's calm. I don't get that, but nevertheless, we were talking about academics. He wrote a book called University of Destruction, very helpful book to prepare your kids for university. Almost as good as Road Trip to Truth will be.
Oh.
Ha! That was an overhead dunk there, Wheaton. He's a tennis player using his lingo right there. That this book said that the universities love to break down kids' Christian values by encouraging them to, what would be the most appropriate way to put this, by violating their own consciences by using their bodies in an unbiblical way.
Dump their presuppositions.
Well, you break them down sexually. They commit a sexual sin, and it's like they're crumbled. They feel guilty and rotten, and they basically just turn their back on everything their parents said. No, don't do that until then. So you break that down, and the rest is a piece of cake. And I just went, oh, yikes. From John McWhorter, contributing writer of The Atlantic. I know. And publisher of Columbia University, writing headline, academics are really, really worried about their freedom. How strong is the agenda on academic campuses? Oh, according to this fellow, he signed a document. A bunch of academics got together and said, hey, whole free speech thing, we'd like to still have that on university campuses. And he received 150 emails from different profs on different university campuses, most of them left-leaning. There were a few conservatives, because there only are a few conservatives, most left-leaning. And the response of what he heard from the article, this year, the Heterodox Academy conducted an internal survey of 445 academics. Imagine expressing your views about a controversial issue while at work at a time when faculty, staff, and or other colleagues were present. To what extent would you worry about the following consequence? My reputation would be tarnished. 32% said very concerned. 27% said extremely concerned. That's over half think that they can't even express a differing opinion on a controversial issue. And what are those issues these days? You know what they are. They're gender issues, they're race issues, they're religion issues. Express anything that does not toe the line exactly, and you're canceled on university campuses. To the hypothetical, my career would be hurt. 24% said, yep, very concerned. Another 28% said, extremely concerned. In other words, more than half of university profs who responded to this particular poll consider expressing views beyond a certain consensus in an academic setting quite dangerous in their career trajectory. What do you think the students are getting fed? Hmm? Do you think that they are being taught anything you taught them? Do you think that they are hearing anything encouraging, unless it's a student group on campus, which appear to be flourishing in a lot of ways, but they are way more political than they are Christian. Christian groups, they're just missing the boat in so many ways on university campuses. These kids, they love the Ben Shapiros, the Charlie Kirks, the people who come to the campus, speak respectfully and conservatively. They get energized and excited, and they show up by the thousands. Where is the Christian event? Well, you just can't gather that big of a crowd. Why not? We don't have something more interesting to say than Ben Shapiro. Really? We think Ben Shapiro's more interesting than Jesus Christ and the Word of God being rightly proclaimed and applied to students in a respectful way. We can't present Christian verities in a way that causes the students to go, we got to go to that. We're missing the boat. One statistics professor said this: I routinely discuss the fallacy of assuming that disparity implies discrimination, which is just a specific way of confusing correlation for causality. Frankly, I'm now somewhat afraid to broach these topics, since according to the new faith, disparity actually is conclusive evidence of discrimination. All right, if you didn't follow the new lingo and all of that, in other words, if I do not say the new woke speak exactly right and endorse it and affirm it, I'm worried about my future here. That is what is going on in one of our influence centers. How left-leaning are they politically? Very. Theologically, even worse than that. And it is an opportunity that is so golden for the church. Why is Ben Shapiro getting thousands of kids on campuses? There isn't one articulate Christian that could go on the campus and say, we respect you, and we're going to present some ideas that are going to knock your socks off. Where is the church on university campuses? A lesser man would sneak in a plug for Road Trip to Truth, which will be available November 1st to equip your kids to go to university campuses in a respectful, intelligent, and thoughtful ways. But clearly, I'm not a lesser man who would tell you that it's going to be available at wretched.org November 1st. This is Wretched Radio. If you happen to be a Tomorrow Club sponsor, this is going to thrill your heart. This is Cindy Marty, one of the leaders of the Tomorrow Clubs, with her husband Paul, sharing a story of the impact of a Tomorrow Club kids Bible clubs meeting weekly in Eastern Europe. The story of a young man named
Arzenia. Literally, he was like a street rat. He repented, came to know Christ, and then he became like a helper in his Tomorrow Club. Then he became a leader of his Tomorrow Club and a director. And now today he's directing about 40 clubs.
The impact of the gospel in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider becoming a sponsor of a Tomorrow Club? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids like Arzenia. They're getting saved. The churches are getting revitalized for $30 a month. Please consider becoming a sponsor at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here today for Wretched Radio. You know, we're always appreciative of your time. And while I do have a bit of your time, I would ask for you to prayerfully consider picking up a copy of Wretched's newest resource, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. We're all touched by this epidemic in some way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, suicide rates have increased by 60% in the last 45 years. It's the 10th leading cause of death in the United States, the third leading cause of death for people between the ages of 15 and 24. We all know someone who's in desperate need of help. So would you please visit wretched.org/13 and pick up your copies of 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and hand them out to everyone that you possibly can think of who might be hurting. As Christians, we have the Word of Life. We have the answers that this world so desperately needs. wretched.org/13. wretched.org/13.
If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter, providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd.
Hello! We're so excited that you're here. Welcome. You're amazing. This is Wretched Radio.
Are you a church greeter? Mm.
Exactly. This is Wretched Radio. 15 characteristics of a genuinely friendly church. Okay.
That makes sense.
Seems like a nice idea. What might be the problem? How's about we should be friendly without having to have a textbook on how to be friendly for the sake of making people feel welcome so that they stick around and we can add a new wing to the building? That's kind of the issue right there.
Training for the church greeters.
It should flow out of us.
Yeah.
That's just who we are. We should be the friendly people. We are the nice people, right? Why do we need 15 characteristics of a genuinely friendly church? So this person who's in charge of making sure that we have friendly people and greeters. Okay, everybody. I want you to gather around. It's come to my attention. We're not as friendly as we need to be to grow this bad boy. I mean, to welcome people into this church. So here's how you're going to behave thusly. You're going to be intentional about being friendly. Do you hear me? You are going to be intentional. That's number one.
Oh, wow.
Number two, you're going to model warmth and humility and friendliness. Model it. You need some help. You go home and practice. Stand in front of a mirror and model warmth to yourself. Then you'll be able to do it right. We're watching you.
So far, Jimmy's disqualified.
Okay. I understand there can be times when we say, hey, greeters, we just want to encourage you. Make everybody feel welcome. Don't be phony. I got to tell you, people see through it like a $9 bill, especially the kids. Mike, you were telling me that when you were doing youth group and you were trying some of the encouraged means to make the kids happy about coming to youth group. Do you recall, this is a number of weeks ago, and sure, it stuck with me. Do you remember what you told me about the kids and you being Sunshine Boy?
Oh, yeah. I tried everything under the sun to try to get kids to be excited and stay and participate, and they saw right through it. I mean, the second you turn around, they're like, do you get that guy? I mean,
They were not talking about you. They were talking trash.
Yeah, exactly.
What a weirdo.
It wasn't, wow, finally, an older dude with a beard who gets me, man.
No,
I'm coming back next Wednesday. I'm going to be here early with my Bible and highlighter. No. They saw through you.
Yeah.
They get phony. And I think people do in general. You're either friendly or you're not. Should you make a best effort to put the friendly people out front? Sure. But if it's just we got two people in this church. We got to come up with three friendly ones. Anybody seen a friendly Christian around here? Something wrong. If we can't find friendly greeters, the leaders are clear that genuine friendliness is more than a brief stand and greet time in worship service. Four, you utilize a secret guest at least twice a year. One small church, of which I'm aware, budgets $100 a year for a secret guest. They pay the guest with a $50 gift card to come to the church and provide feedback on their experience.
Oh, my.
Oh, that's goodness. Like a secret shopper.
I called it. It's exactly what it is.
I didn't.
That is precisely what it is. I call this process looking in the mirror. I was so ahead of the curve on this deal because it gives the church a real opportunity to see itself as others do, which reminds me of another trend in evangelical Christianity, and that is the internet website that allows you to rate a church. That's right. You get to rate a church. You go online as if you are going, you've just visited a restaurant and you want to critique the cooking, the service, the atmosphere. You get to do the exact same thing with the church. This is called The Beehive from thebeehive.live. These are some of the quotes. They went to a bunch of these church review websites. This is what we are allowing the world to do to us. I know this is inconsistent, that we don't like it when Facebook somehow goes about the business of working on the algorithms to silence voices, which they absolutely do. By the way, I don't, because I didn't want to brag, because, you know, I'm really good. Really good at not bragging. Didn't want to boast about this, but I had hinted that maybe we here at Wretched were indeed being censored by Facebook. It seems pretty certain. And we've contacted some of our ministry friends to say, have you taken a look at your Facebook stats? They've got, they track everything. You can find out anybody who visits. Let me tell you, they know a lot about you, mm-hmm. who you are, where you visit, where you go, all of that. So the people who have the Facebook page, they know all of that stuff too. So we said, have you noticed anything about Facebook and what they're doing to you? And initially it was like, well, not really. And then about 10 minutes later, I get another call. Yeah, you should see what's going on here. So to give you an idea of the censoring that is happening, courtesy of Facebook, I get it. They're sort of a private industry. And yet the government's always involved. This is going to be a tricky little situation. We want to watch against stifling free speech and a private industry's or private organization's ability to operate their business as they see fit and discriminate. Hmm. Nevertheless, 2019, 105,000 people clicked the button thing on the Facebook.
Doodle. Like?
What, like? Is that it? Follow?
Share?
Like?
Follow, share?
Okay, whatever it is. 105,000 people. That was 2019. We are, 9 months, almost 10 months into 2020, 9,000. Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's a problem.
Math is not my specialty, but I know that 105,000 is more than 9,000. And so we started to dig down a little bit deeper. December of 2019, 17,000 people said, okay, fine, I'll watch this stuff on occasion. January, 900. Did anything change? Did we?
It's certainly not your.
I don't know if you realize this here, but we used to do nothing but mime cat juggling. Those were the only videos that we produced. They were wildly popular. Now, perhaps it's because we're talking about all this Christian stuff all the time that they've. Now, wait a second. We didn't do mime cat juggling. We were talking about the exact same stuff last year as this year, and yet, and then apparently, we'll hear from some folks who say, Facebook is telling me they're having problems playing this video. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, they've got that monkey grinder machine that sometimes it gets tired, doesn't get enough peanuts, doesn't grind the machine, the videos don't play the way they're supposed to.
Makes sense.
There's censoring going on. There's little doubt about it. There's Senate hearings that are happening. It is most certainly happening to us. If I'm wrong, I'll happily apologize and then look forward to them changing their algorithms, because that would actually be true repentance. We're not fans of censoring, and yet, wow, that the church allows this type of nonsense to happen. You'd just like to... A church review site. The breakfast servers only greeted people they knew. It made me feel awkward at first. 1 star.
The breakfast servers.
I've heard these as a pastor.
Okay, but here's what gets me about this. There's churches, clearly, that are encouraged. You go listen or pay somebody to do that so that the world can judge us. Really? Is that how this is supposed to work? Who is the judge of the bride? How's about Jesus? So even if you want to say, well, being friendly, that's a good thing. Based on whose opinion? Not the world's. Christ's opinion. We do want to be warm ambassadors for him, but we also want to remember churches for brothers and sisters. That's who it's primarily for. And of course we should greet each other warmly. We're commanded to do so. Don't have to do the holy kiss business. Prefer you don't, even with or without COVID. We are warm people because Christ commands us and instructs us and makes us warm people. Not because the world tells us, if you don't warm up, we're not coming back. Wow. The full ultimate experience. Great for the family. Great for the kids. 5 stars.
Oh, that's nice.
Good programs for the kids. Childcare, exceptional. Five stars. You know it'll warrant you 2 stars? I'll tell you. I didn't get a very welcoming vibe. Neither did my husband. It was just not for us. Does this mean we don't care what the world thinks? No, we do, of course. You know, you don't want to be doing things intentionally that are off-putting. Of course not. But this is common sense. The whole positioning of this is that the church exists for the whims of pagans, and that we have to construct this thing to make them happy and to give us more than 2 stars, and that they'll be happy to come back because we gave service with a smile and welcomed them with an Egg McMuffin and a warm cup of, no, a hot cup of Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
Now, you should just serve better coffee because who wants to drink Folgers or Maxwell House, huh? But the point is, we do all of these things for Christ and for one another. And if the church happens to come in and visit those things and observe those things, they will see those things, but we are not doing them to gain a crowd. We are doing them to glorify our King. Ugh, but the church is treated like a diner. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, military prosecutors in Gaza have charged 3 Palestinian peace activists with weakening revolutionary spirit after the activists took part in a video call with Israelis. The activists are from the Gaza Youth Committee and have participated in a video call in April as part of an event they called Skype with Your Enemy. The group had hoped to encourage Israelis to become leaders who advocated for peace in their country. The director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights said the Palestinian activists could face prison time and hard labor. According to a report from the New York Times, the video call had more than 200 participants on Zoom. Participants included people from Europe, the United States, Palestine, and Israel. Hamas later arrested Rami Aman, the leader of the Gaza Youth Committee, and others who took part in the call. Gaza officials did not respond to requests for comment last week. However, in April, the spokesman for the Hamas-run Interior Ministry said the activists had taken part in normalization activity, saying any communication with Israel was a crime punishable by law and a betrayal of our people and its sacrifices. Hamas does allow communication with Palestinian merchants, the sick, and Palestinian Authority officials, but officials condemn communication with Israelis on a social-political level. As of late September, 2 of the 3 activists are still in jail. They have not yet been charged, according to the news report. Well, pro-abortion feminists rioted Monday in Mexico, throwing Molotov cocktails at police and smashing windows during an International Safe Abortion Day protest. Associated Press reports say that protesters demanded that Mexico legalize abortion on demand across the country. Currently, abortions are legal in some parts of the country, while unborn babies are protected from abortion in others. The protest became violent, which is an increasingly frequent occurrence, when hundreds of pro-abortion protesters began using hammers to smash windows and doors. Others threw paint, bottles, Molotov cocktails, and flares at police. The police, many of whom were female officers, extinguished the fires and sprayed tear gas at the violent mob. It appears some of the rioters also may have been trying to attack pro-life advocates who were holding a counter-protest in a different part of the city. A Christian boy has been killed after a woman, said to be a radical Muslim opposed to his father's conversion from Islam, sold him and his sister to a witch doctor for a sacrifice. Suleiman Polisi, a former imam who became a Christian 3 years ago, said that in July 2018, his daughter, then 13, and his 11-year-old son disappeared from their home in eastern Uganda. Police rescued his daughter on September the 16th. The identity of the suspected kidnappers remained unclear. Polisi's daughter, whose name is withheld for security reasons, was rescued from the witch doctor's home in a village in western Uganda after a Christian shopkeeper there asked her where she had come from. And as always, continue to pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the 4 original doctors of the Church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to Scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't want to brag. Actually, I do. This is Wretched Radio. Guess what I get to do today? I'll tell you anyway, I get to spend time with Milton Vincent. You say, what exactly is a Milton Vincent? Clearly, not somebody who was born in the 90s. Milton, there has not been a Milton, I do believe, who has been born after 1960. Nevertheless, Milton Vincent, a great pastor, Riverside, California, is going to be spending time with Road Trip to Truth Season 2. Not to cause confusion, but Season 1 of Road Trip to Truth, it will be released November 1st, getting very, very close. It is 13 episodes. It will equip your kids to defend their faith when they hit the university campus. It comes with a study guide. It is da bomb a diggity. Season 2, we wanted to present an episode on the gospel. Season 1, Big Bang cosmology, postmodernism, truth, the issues that are typically on the surface of university campuses that just assault the kids when they hit there. This was an episode that we wanted to do to let the kids know that your faith is actually worth dying for. It is worth being ostracized for, to be considered the pariah on the university campus, to perhaps not be allowed to become a member of the frat or the sorority house. The gospel is glorious. And Milton Vincent was just the man to do that, to present the gospel in such a way that causes you to go, I want that. I desire that. We can all learn from this man. First of all, as you're going to hear, exceedingly pastoral. His tone tells you he cares for you. His pleading encourages you to listen and drink this in because it is worthy of your consideration. Second, he presents the gospel in such a way that makes it sound better than it ever has before. So you're maybe thinking, oh, so that's like when he preaches on John 3:16 only? No, it's when he preaches on everything. He presents God, our Trinitarian God, in such a way that lifts him up, that makes him the most glorious being in the universe because he is the most glorious being in the universe. So to make you a little bit jealous, I mean, to encourage you that I get to spend time with this fellow today, would like to share with you Milton Vincent talking about you. In light of the fact that right now there is somebody who is praying for you.
Being prayed for is powerful. And if you love being prayed for, you're going to love this passage that we're going to be looking at, because it turns out that someone pretty amazing is always praying for you.
Who is that person? It's the third person of the Trinity, Romans 8. He helps you in your weaknesses. Even now, he is praying for you, and that is powerful.
In fact, the second half of Romans 8 holds very good news for us with regard to being prayed for. We learn in verse 34 that Christ Jesus is always interceding for us. And the passage we're going to be looking at now in verse 26, Paul says, the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And then he says it again in verse 27, he intercedes for us. And so our Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are always praying for you.
It's pretty awesome.
If you don't get something of a liver shiver from that, I don't think you're listening. I don't think you're hearing. Okay, the words they rattled around in your timpani into your ear. You know, so you got it. Yeah, okay, I understood the word, but you're not hearing it. You're not listening to it, and you're not drinking it in. If you're a discouraged Christian, if you're a joyless Christian, in other words, you wouldn't make a good greeter to get good grades on the internet for greeting people with a smile. It probably is this issue. There might be others, but it's probably this issue. You are not thinking on these things. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit right now are praying for you, interceding on your behalf
to the Father. So we could almost say with some carefulness, be encouraged, God is praying for you. In verse 26, Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
Now, how long could you preach on that subject? You just heard that. How long could you go on that? Probably not all that long. This is the glory of expository preaching. Truth number one, you're being interceded for by the Holy Spirit of God himself and Jesus Christ himself. Why? To help you with what? Your weaknesses.
He intercedes for us as a way of helping us in our areas of weakness. How many of you would say, every head bowed, every eye closed, how many of you would say, Pastor Melton, I have weakness in my life? Raise your hand. Okay, half of you. That's great. We all have weakness, and the really good news here is that the Spirit, in his intercession to the Father with regard to us, the Spirit intends for his intercession with the Father to be a help to us in these very areas of weakness in our life. Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness, for he intercedes for us.
Okay. Not only is God aware of us, with that knowledge is an awareness of our weaknesses. And he doesn't stand off from afar and go, well, swim harder, do better, try more. Nope. He intercedes to help us in our weaknesses. What kind of a God is this? This is not a God that you and I would concoct. If you look at any sort of mythology, they're strong, they're mighty, they'll possess typically an attribute or two, but it's always strong or sexual. Our God intercedes for us to help us in our weaknesses. What kind of a God stoops this low? Of course, it would be a God that you and I could not concoct, because if we could concoct him, then he wouldn't be. It would be too obvious. Our God, the true and living God, is not only aware of his creation, he stoops to help us in our weaknesses. Have you drunk that in lately?
This word help means to enter into the burden of another and to ensure that it gets sufficiently addressed. It means to enter into the task of another and to help get that task done. This is the same word help that Martha used in her plea to Jesus when she complained that Mary left her alone with her task of preparations, and she told Jesus to tell Mary to help me.
Okay, you trying to do life by yourself? Rot's a rock. Clearly, you need help. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be interceding for you to help you with your weaknesses. And you have somebody, not just at your right hand or left hand, you have somebody in you who is willing to help you. Are you striving to do life by yourself? You're missing the greatest strength that is at your availability. God himself. This is our God.
I don't want to be alone in what I am doing. Mary has forsaken me to sit at your feet. Tell her to come and be with me in the doing of these things and to help me. And Paul is saying that the Spirit helps us in our areas of weakness.
Second, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when? When you and I, stammering tongued, do not even know what to say.
There's a third encouraging truth that we can observe about the Spirit's intercession. He intercedes for us when we don't know how to pray. Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Notice that Paul is including himself in this startling admission. Paul is saying, we don't know how to pray as we should. I don't think he's saying he never knows how to pray as he should, but he's including himself this far into his walk with the Lord, and he's saying, it often happens that we don't know how to pray.
How encouraging is that? When you struggle in your prayer time, when you get your wandering brain, you begin asking God to forgive you of your sins, and the next thing you know, you find yourself center court at Wimbledon playing in the semifinals against Pete Sampras. How's about Paul struggled? How's about when we don't even know what to ask? The Holy Spirit does, and he does it for you in your weaknesses, on your behalf. Those are just three truths. By the way, this one segment on He Intercedes for Us When We Don't Know How to Pray, it's 9 minutes and 26 seconds long. This is expository preaching delivered from a shepherd's heart that should encourage you and make you really jealous, because I'm going to be spending the rest of the day with him. This is Wretched Radio.
eHarmony.com, ChristianMingle.com, FarmersOnly.com, and Wretched.org. So what do all of these websites have in common? That's right, three are dating websites, and then there's Wretched. While you might not actually find the love of your life on Wretched.org, you are going to find other things to love. Things like full Wretched TV episodes, the hour-long Wretched podcast, and the Wretched store full of theologically deep resources. And while you're there, you can also become a gospel partner. See, without our gospel partners, Wretched can't do what we do best, and that is spread the good news of the gospel all over the world. If you're already a gospel partner, we sincerely thank you. If you're not, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? That is, after you find your prince or princess charming. You just visit wretched.org for all things Wretched Charming. That's wretched.org. Wretched.org.
What do these two Bible verses have in common? If one part of the body of Christ suffers, all parts suffer with it. That would be your 1 Corinthians 12:26, Rexella. This is Hebrews 13:3. Remember those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. We are in a great international invisible body known as the Church of Jesus Christ, the true believers, followers of our Savior. We are in a body together, and right now millions in the body are suffering persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ, and they are praying right now, not for alleviation of suffering, but for a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can to the persecuted church through Bible League International at wretched.org/Bible.
Suicide, typically an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's one we need to talk more about because it's the third leading cause of death among Gen Zers. This generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. Today's youth need help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it, but you know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide will provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. Give these booklets away to someone who need hope. wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you need some encouragement and bitter jealousy, you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Pastor Milton Vincent Riverside is his location. He is a shepherd who exposits the Word of God. Specifically, we are listening to a little snippet, and this is a little snippet from a whiz banger he preached at a Wretched conference a number of years ago on the Holy Spirit, that He intercedes for you. That should encourage you, that he intercedes for you. You have somebody praying for you. God, He intercedes for you in your weaknesses. He intercedes for you when you don't even know how to pray. This is all from one verse, an hour-long sermon that unpacks all of the ways that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. And this should encourage you. It should also make you jealous, because I'm going to be spending the rest of the day with Pastor Milton Vincent. I don't mean to say so there, but he is a shepherd, and you know it when you see him. You just see a guy like this, and you go, he's not a businessman. He's not working in government. This guy, there's something different about this. He comports himself differently. It's because he's a shepherd, and you can hear it in his voice. And it's so encouraging to hear the word of God unpacked like this. Permit me to sneak in an encouragement for you to help bless other Christians who do not have the word of God at their access and fingertips, where they can actually read encouraging verses like this. Bible League International, delivering Bibles to believers who would love to be encouraged. If you haven't supported Bible League, would encourage you to do that. $5 per Bible. You can do that at wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible, so that they could be encouraged when they read that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with passion.
There's a fourth precious truth regarding the Spirit's intercession for us, and that is he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Man, the Spirit has passion when he prays for us. What did we ever do to deserve this? The Spirit helps our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Groanings that one is not able to articulate in the form of understandable words. You learn in Romans 8 that all creation groans, and even that we who have the first fruits of the Spirit are groaning, waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies, our adoption as sons, to be completed. And now we learn that we are not the only ones groaning, but the Spirit within us is groaning as well. And in his groaning, the groaning of the Spirit, it denotes tremendous passion. The Spirit is deeply involved in our lives when it comes to our weaknesses and the brokenness that we experience in this life. He feels with us. This groaning denotes sympathetic feeling. Whatever you're feeling, you're not the only one feeling that and expressing those groanings. The Spirit groans along with you. You are never alone in any pain. The Spirit's groaning also denotes dissatisfaction, a dissatisfaction that will not be satisfied until we receive what it is that we need from the Father.
What did we ever do to deserve this?
This is intense, because what he's saying is really convicting about how we pray. Because the Spirit prays with passion. You look back at Jesus in Luke chapter 22. How did Jesus pray? He prayed earnestly, and as he's doing this, he's sweating blood that he's praying the way he is. But when we pray, many times we forget the passion.
If you have not been encouraged from preaching, something's wrong somewhere. It's either not being presented or it's not being heard, or you're not pondering it. Consider this. Your lame, pathetic prayers are only compensated for by the passionate praying, not of somebody who gets hired to do it, but somebody who stoops to lovingly present you to the Father. And it is God, the Holy Spirit himself. What did we do to deserve this?
The Father wanted all of our needs to be perfectly represented before him at all times. And so he gave us the Spirit, who always is interceding for us. And he intercedes with groanings too deep for words. One writer says regarding the groanings that this expresses at once both the vastness of our need and the infinite concern of the blessed indwelling Spirit for us. Now, we don't want to get hokey with this. Paul is not saying here that all that the Spirit does is groans with inarticulate groans. That's the sum total of his prayer, is unutterable groaning. That's all he does, is groans. No, the Spirit prays in an understandable, intelligible, articulate manner for us as he intercedes for us, but those articulate prayers are accompanied by groans that we would never, ever begin to be able to articulate. What this means is that if somehow our ears could be opened and we could hear the Spirit interceding for us, what the Spirit is praying for from the Father, and the passion and the sympathy and the groaning with which He is praying, if we could hear that, we would say, that's it, that's it, that's exactly what I would want prayed for me in this situation or in this weakness that I am experiencing.
Don't know if you've started a list of all the things that you and I have done to deserve that. You haven't gotten very far, have you?
The news gets even better, because a fifth encouraging truth that we observe about the Spirit's intercessory ministry for us is that He intercedes for us according to the will of God. He says, and He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints, literally, according to God, or according to the will of God. When the Spirit prays for us, He always prays according to the will of the Father. The beauty of this is, if we could hear the Spirit praying for us, we would say, that's it, that's it, that's exactly what I would want prayed for. That's what I would love to be able to express myself, but I'm not able to. That's exactly the prayer that I would want brought to the Father on my behalf. And the neat thing is, when the Father hears that prayer from the Spirit, the Father's saying, that's it, that's it, that's exactly the prayer that I would want brought to me.
To say that's neat would be an understatement. That is a shepherd preaching the Word of God, not just verse by verse, but word by word. The blessings of knowing the Holy Spirit is interceding for you, and the blessing of knowing that you get to spend time with that preacher all afternoon. I'm so sorry. That's not you. That's just I who get to
I am that. Growing a little jealous after
I
listening.
Am really sorry. My pronouns got all confused there.
There's a sixth and final encouraging truth regarding the ministry of intercession of the Spirit for us, and that is, He intercedes for us in a way that succeeds with the Father. It succeeds with the Father. Paul says, and He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Notice what it says. He, the Father, who searches the hearts, He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He knows, and you might want to underline that word knows. This is not just the knowing of omniscience. This is the knowing of approval. Write down Psalm 1:6. Where it says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. Whatever it means for God to know the way of the righteous, it means the opposite of letting something come to naught and perish. So for Paul to say that the Father knows what the mind of the Spirit is denotes approval and the granting of success too. As Spurgeon says, the word to know in this case includes approval, as well as the mere act of omniscience. What God sees and approves of in the heart must succeed. God the Father knows and grants success to the mind of the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit is interceding for us regarding, seeking to obtain benefit, help, blessing from the Father, He gets what He asks for.
For you. Don't know if you've been feeling the effects of our falling world, just absolutely crumbling. You're concerned about the election, the results. You're worried about the economy, the stock market. You're worried about who's going to control the house. You're worried about what's going to happen with capitalism. You're worried with what's going to happen to your kids. You're worried with what's going to happen in your marriage. What's going to happen at your job right now? The Holy Spirit of God is interceding for you in your weaknesses when you don't know how to pray with passion in accordance to the will of God, to which God responds with, I affirm that for you. Be encouraged, saint. You have an advocate. You have an intercessor. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.